Welcome to Foresight Friday Roundup, Foresight Health's podcast series for healthcare revolutionaries. Outcomes matter, customers count, and value rules. Hello again, everyone. This is Dave Berta, news editor at Foresight Health. On today's episode of Foresight Friday Roundup, we're going to talk about Medicaid. It's not a topic I'm well versed on, but my ignorance of a topic has never stopped us here before on Foresight Friday Roundup. So today we're going to talk about Medicaid enrollment trends, Medicaid expansion, and Medicaid innovation. To educate me and our listeners on these topics are Dave Johnson, founder and CEO of Foresight Health, and Gary Bisbee, co-founder of the Health Management Academy. Dave, Gary, how are you guys doing this morning? Dave?
I don't know, Dave. Presidential supporters and campaigns like to say four more years. I'm saying just four more days.
All right. Gary, how about you?
I'm just looking at the fact that October's almost over. We have 2 months left this year, and gosh, what a year 2020 has been.
Yeah, one for the books, that's for sure. All right, before we talk about Medicaid, let's talk about Halloween. It's tomorrow. How are you guys handling it this year because of the pandemic? Dave, what are you up to?
Well, Gary just mentioned how psycho the country's been during 2020. So what we're going to do is sit down and watch the movie Psycho.
All right. I'd like to see. Gary, what will Halloween be like at the Bisbee household tomorrow?
I have some grandchildren. I'm sure we'll hide candy around the house. I don't think they'll be going out. So it'll be chock full of interest around the household tomorrow.
Right. Thanks. On my end, at the suggestion of my better half, my oldest son and I built this 20-foot tube that in theory will let us shoot candy out a second floor window and into the candy bags of our trick-or-treaters through the mouth. I'm not done yet. Through the mouth of a big carved pumpkin. So,
oh my gosh.
I'll let you know how that turns out. I'll either be calling you from the police station or the hospital.
We want video, Dave.
Yeah, I should probably live stream it or something. Right. All right. Let's talk about Medicaid. Dave, what are the latest trends in enrollment? And what are some of the factors driving those trends? What do you see?
Well, first off, if healthcare is complicated, as President Trump discovered, Medicaid is really complicated. First off, it's countercyclical. So enrollment tends to go down in good economic times and up in bad economic times. States which fund a big portion of Medicaid are obviously better equipped to handle that funding in good economic times. So at times like these where economics are bad, is bad for state funding. Medicaid is big, over 70 million people enrolled, half are children. It's state specific. Most states are now expansion states, but there's still 12 that aren't. They have different approaches to enrollment and disenrollment. The federal government applies incentives and regulations to try to blunt the extremes. In fact, early on in the pandemic, the government passed the Family First Coronavirus Response Act, which increased the Medicaid match by 6.2% during the health emergency period, which now is going to run through next March. But a caveat of doing that or requirement of receiving the extra money is you couldn't disenroll anyone that was enrolled as of early March. It's a catch-all, so it's not only for poor people. It encompasses behavioral health services. Most nursing home residents are under Medicaid. So it's just a big, diverse, complicated program, and it's been made all the more complicated by coronavirus. So let's do the numbers, and it's actually pretty interesting. So for the 4 years leading up to the coronavirus, so 2016, 17, 18, 19, enrollment was actually decreasing at a pretty significant rate, which isn't necessarily a surprise given how good the economy was. It was actually negative enrollment in 2018 and 19 of about 2%. Enrollment this year, you would have expected it to skyrocket. It's been flat, but again, a reverse of a trend that had been going down. However, most states expect big jumps in 2021. Kaiser Family Foundation estimates that 13 million people who've lost jobs are now eligible for Medicaid. And states which were flush coming into the pandemic are now really suffering budget shortfalls, estimated to be $110 billion this year and almost $300 billion next year. And now, of course, there's lots of uncertainty as we appear to be going into yet another big wave of exposure, which means economies are now shutting down. We're in Illinois, and starting today, indoor dining and restaurants and drinking in bars is outlawed. So it's going to go in-house. So that's on the enrollment side. And then on the spending side, it continues to increase roughly 4% in those years I talked about earlier, 16, 17, 18, 19, up 6.3% this year and up 8% next year. And that's being driven by drug spending, especially for specialty drugs, increases in mental health service spending, hospital, nursing home rates going up. And, you know, as you sit here and kind of look at it, you say, well, why hasn't the Medicaid enrollment gone up more, just given how much suffering that we know is going on in the country? And that, I think, is at the human level. People were afraid, have been afraid, continue to be afraid to go into the hospital. Under stress, they've got other concerns. Where are they going to get food and shelter? It's a dark time for the country overall, but particularly dark for those who have disproportionately suffered job loss. Again, Kaiser Family Foundation thinks 78 million people, or estimates 78 million people, live in a household where somebody's lost a job. So perilous times, and it's hard to believe that we just won't see Medicaid enrollment and spending going up pretty considerably over the next period of time, depending on how long the coronavirus lasts, how quickly the economy comes back, particularly how quickly the economy comes back for lower income workers. So tough times.
Got it, Dave. Thanks. Gary, what's the latest with Medicaid expansion? And how do you think the election results and the new Supreme Court will affect that?
So let's drop back for a moment and just frame Medicaid in the history here of Medicare and Medicaid, which was passed in 1965. And actually, Medicare, which was to provide services to the, in those days they used the term elderly, was based on a trust fund. So the fund was actually created to fund Medicare. Medicaid, which was a late entrant, Medicaid kind of came in toward the end of the discussions on Medicare, was not funded with the trust fund. So Medicaid expenditures have to come out of either the federal government, as Dave mentioned, or the state governments. Right now, the federal government covers about 65% of all Medicaid expenditures, and the states cover about 35%. Looking at it on a national average. The point I think needs to be made, I believe, is that Medicaid is now the floor for health services in the country. That will continue to expand, I believe, over the forthcoming decade. But when you look at two red states like Oklahoma and Missouri, just relatively recently this year, passed Medicaid expansion by a vote of the people, and it wasn't really even close. I think that's just further evidence that Medicaid, in terms of health care, is the floor. The third point inherent in what Dave said is that public health is now part of the national economic security. And when you have 75 million people, 75 million households having lost a worker, then you're clearly quickly get to the point that the economic security of this country is dependent upon keeping people healthy, and Medicaid is the way to do that for the low-income or no-income people. To get to the point about the Supreme Court, We talked about this on this show before, but it strikes me that we don't really need to worry about disenfranchising Medicaid. Hard to know exactly how the Supreme Court is going to handle it, but with the doctrine of severability, it seems unlikely to me, no matter what they come up with, that it's going to wipe out the ACA and wipe out Medicaid expansion. In the worst case, I suppose, if the court finds in a way that would cripple the ACA or Medicaid expansion, I'm sure Congress will immediately pass something to sustain it. So we could worry about a lot of things, much of it Dave outlined earlier, but I wouldn't worry a lot about the Supreme Court somehow ending Medicaid coverage.
Got it. Dave, anything to add to Gary's comments? And do you agree with him about the ACA and expansion?
Oh, I completely agree with Gary on ACA and expansion. The politics of it are tough for those that want to repeal. Over 60% of Americans like the law. They particularly like the provisions related to pre-existing medical conditions and keeping kids on health insurance policies until age 26. And probably the biggest reason I'm confident the ACA with the Medicaid expansion is going to stay in place is there's a really easy legislative fix. Congress has to pass a simple law saying that individual mandates are no longer part of the law and the whole basis for the lawsuit goes away. And after the election, calmer heads will prevail for the reasons we're talking about, dollars and cents reasons. The only other point I'd add, I'm really beginning to think that Medicaid is where the rubber meets the road on healthcare in America. As Gary said, it's not only a floor, it's also the place where we're confronting, in the most perilous ways, the explosion of chronic disease in the country. And we've got a mismatch between acute care and chronic care, too much acute, not enough chronic. And as we talk next about innovation, most of the innovation relates to how do we reduce the incidence and impact of chronic disease on lower income people that are the most vulnerable to it.
Thanks, Dave. You know, we do see a lot of experimentation and demonstrations with managed care and value-based care in Medicare. Gary, what are we seeing on the Medicaid side of the house in that vein?
Building on what Dave teed up here, clearly chronic disease is the culprit that needs to be dealt with. And along the lines of social determinants of health, where we see that social conditions, everything from eating to housing to other social circumstances, influence health. We see that substantially in the Medicaid population. We've had financing innovations through managed Medicaid for some time, and I think 3/4 of the Medicaid eligibles now are on some kind of risk-based managed care. In terms of specifics, if you look at four conditions, drug abuse, integration of care from acute to ambulatory and so on, the mental health, and then just high cost for complex care, those four areas have served to be source of innovations for Medicaid programs. Much of that is on a state-by-state basis, of course, so the variation is high from states around the country. What we're seeing more recently coming out of CMMI and the federal government is pushing, as Dave said earlier, economics are driving this, but the federal government is pushing on primary care. And whether it's payments tied to performance, whether it's outcome payments, individual experiments around the country are underway focused on primary care. Secondly is social determinants of health. Mentioned that earlier, but that would be education, quality, provider training, but trying to address the fact that socially speaking, housing, food, education, and so on, there's a shortfall of the Medicaid eligible population. Third area is information exchange, and the idea there is that we've got much better information on clinical side of things for acute care. We're short for ambulatory care. We're particularly short for this population. So to increase information so that we can actually begin to measure the consequence of some of these social conditions is the subject of experimentation. And then the fourth point is behavioral health and how behavioral health is integrated into the overall health economy is a point of some concern and a point of some experimentation. So that's a quick wrap up on the innovation front.
Thanks, Gary. Good stuff. Dave, what's your take on Medicaid innovation and what's driving states to get more creative with their programs?
We talked earlier about all the pressure that states are under, the fiscal pressure. And Medicaid for most states has been the fastest growing line item. So there's a real need to do it better. You know, relative to Medicare, I think there's a much higher degree of experimentation in Medicaid because the states do control the parameters. Now, Gary and I are both fans of Medicare Advantage, but everything that's good about Medicare Advantage has to do with care management. Everything that's bad has to do with the scrambling to drive up the risk adjustment as high as possible. And it's almost become a business line unto itself. You don't see that in Medicaid, right? You've got a fixed population. You got to take care of them. As Gary said, we've seen a lot of increase in Medicaid managed care programs. Honestly, some of that has been just to control costs and through decreasing access. But increasingly, states like Massachusetts and North Carolina, Minnesota, and others have really been trying to tackle the social determinants of health under the fairly obvious conclusion that you have to deal holistically with the problem. And we know that's true because in the dual eligible programs, people that qualify for both Medicare and Medicaid, old, poor, and often very sick people, we've seen a huge number of companies come into the space to aggressively work with this group of people. And it's all about relationships, early diagnosis, managing chronic disease, getting on top of mental health issues. And so we know what we need to do. It's just been hard to do it. But there are a couple of things that are helping. And Gary mentioned big data. And I think we're seeing real experimentation and movement in going beyond just clinical and claims data and looking at environmental data, purchasing data. There's a whole treasure trove of data on each of us related to our purchases. So we can get a feel for people and who's at risk. And we know that disease tends to regress to the mean. So if you were sick last year, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be sick this year. So the prediction and the risk adjustment have been two really tough parameters to get our handle on. And I think big data, more commitment to holistic treatment, social determinants of health, like Gary was saying, are factors that can dramatically improve the overall health of this population. And if coronavirus has taught us nothing else, if we're not healthy as a country collectively, we're not healthy as a country individually.
Thanks, Dave. Gary, anything to add to Dave's comments?
Nope, I agree with what Dave is saying for sure. It's a tough situation, and it's going to take a long time to work out. But going back to the fundamentals, I do believe Medicaid is the floor for health services in this country. And we will make progress throughout this decade. I think we're going to make substantial progress on solidifying Medicaid and bulking it up in positive ways.
Got it. Thanks, Gary. Now, as always, let's talk about next week. We're all adults here, and I think we all know what the big story will be next week. So I'm going to ask you a different question. Gary, point blank, who's going to win the presidential election and what party will control the Senate?
I think we're looking at a blue wave myself. I think Biden will win. I think the Senate will go Democratic. I'm more sure about Biden winning than the Senate going Democratic. I think it'll be close. So I don't think it'll be a mandate for the Democrats, but I do think that Chuck Schumer will reign here.
Got it. Dave, what are your predictions?
I'm a Minnesota Vikings fan. God bless me. But the Vikings had a running back once who said, you know, if you need 2 yards, I'll get you three. If you need 5 yards, I'll get you three. And that's how I feel about Trump. You know, he's going to get 42% of the vote come hell or high water, but he's not going to get more than that. And so I'm with Gary. I think it's going to be a blue wave. I actually believe we will see something that looks a lot more like 2008 than he's envisioning. The fact that the Democrats are campaigning and competitive in states like Georgia and Arizona augurs well. So we'll be back next week to talk about it. But I think we're looking at a pretty big Democratic win. And it may or may not be a mandate, but they're certainly going to treat it as one.
Got it. Thanks, Dave. And thanks, Gary. I'm going to vote with you guys. So I'm on board with that plan. That's what we will be talking about next week on Foresight Friday Roundup. So get ready for that. Thanks again for a great conversation today on Medicaid. If you'd like to learn more about the topics we discussed, please visit our website at foresighthealth.com. You can also find a recording of this podcast and all our podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, and other streaming services. Thanks again for listening. I'm Dave Berta for Foresight Health.